You take a Bible and even turn there. Perhaps it'll be behind me on the screens. But this is one of the most well-known of the Psalms, Psalm 46. It's a song of strength, of the strongness of who our great God is. This is one of the most well-known. It's not from David, but it is of the sons of Korah. Those were the worship leadership of ancient Israel, and this was put together in a unique context. When people would sing of this psalm, when they would utilize this in worship, their minds would reflect back on great events of the way in which the Lord God had saved them. So it's good for us to look at this in our series, Psalms for Life in the Kingdom of God. Psalms for Life in the Kingdom of God. How it is that you, the child of God, are to view life in this world. The way in which we view life in this world in the midst of the troubles we experience, in the way in which we view things in the happiness of circumstances we experience as well. And certainly that comes from the perspective of our relationship with the living God, of who God is, what He has done for us, and how that changes everything about who we are. So once again, we should be reminded of the Psalm's purpose here. And this psalm especially today, that the Lord Himself, the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, would purpose these psalms for our good and for His glory. For our encouragement and ultimately for His worship. That's the very purpose of these psalms as we look at these things today. So let's look to God's most holy word from the 46th psalm. Hear now God's most holy word. God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters His voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord. How He has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Let me pray. Our Lord, we give You thanks this day that You would speak to us from Your word. And we would pray that Your Holy Spirit would be at work even now, that You would speak to us, that it wouldn't be the preacher preaching, but it would be You, the Spirit of God, at work in the midst, that You would come with power to us, that You'd encourage us this day. We give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of months ago, I witnessed an interesting situation. It was at the ballpark, and there were thousands of people, of course, at the ballpark. And I was seated high in the upper decks of the ballpark, had a great vantage point for people watching. My wife's worse at it than I am. And it's a beautiful night for baseball, and it was an intensely good game, and all the children began to come out of their seats and began to play in the entrances and exits and the sort of the alleyways off to where the food places and whatnot are in the stadium. And the children, they were playing there. It's a safe environment, to be sure. And they're chasing one another. And I watched a little girl playing along and chasing the other children. And she was full of laughs and fun. And things were good until that seventh inning stretch. And the crowds began to swell and come out of their seats. And there was that point where I could see that little girl's countenance begin to change. And she was perhaps 4 or 5 years old. And as she stood there by herself, all alone in the midst of all of the people moving around her, I could see the terror in her eyes, her inability to speak or to look up, to ask for anybody's help. She was unable to do anything but weep. I wanted to push my way into that crowd and rescue this child that was being seemingly consumed by all the chaos that was taking place. And then, as if on cue, I witnessed a man come from behind her and to quickly whisk her up onto his shoulders. And there she began to smile as he waved to her mother in the stands because it was her father. The child was there rescued, and the swelling that was around her, she now sat at the top of it, unfearful and certainly able to move about untroubled. Each of us have experienced, I would imagine, that feeling of intense aloneness amidst the chaos and the struggles and the swelling of troubles that are around us. Being gripped with fear to the point of not being able to express anything except, what am I to do? The pressures, the difficulties, those things that encroach around us and nearly choke us to death. What will we do? How will I cope? What will happen to me? What are the consequences if this, then this, then this? And our minds begin to move about with the troubles of those circumstances and chaos. And ultimately, who can help me? The psalmist sings for joy here. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. I would submit to you that Psalm 46 is this psalm of triumph over past, over present, over those future troubles that you're going to have, you will face. And it's certainly a promise of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ at work for you who believe on him, that it is a promise of power in the midst of the troubles that you face. God's word here this morning teaches us that the presence of God's lives, the presence of God in our lives, can triumph in times of trouble. It gives us that sense of triumph when we're in trouble. It's also the very purpose of this psalm is, in fact, that he has triumphed over our troubles. And in triumphing over our troubles, he enables us to get the best out of our troubles. Let me say that again. In triumphing over our troubles, he enables us to get the best out of our troubles. The Lord, our refuge, our strength, the very present help in times of trouble, he enables us to get the best out of our troubles. Now, how in the world, Nathan, can you make such a statement? How do we get the best out of our troubles? Maybe you're secretly thinking that I don't want the best out of my troubles. I want to be out of trouble itself. And that's certainly true, the reality. But I must simply say that there are slim chances of you, perhaps one in a bazillion, of being in a life free of any kind of trouble. But the secret that we need to discover is how to react when troubles, in fact, hit the life of the believer in Jesus Christ. What we can learn in our troubles about ourselves, what we can learn in our troubles, especially about the Lord, and in the midst of our troubles, how Jesus Christ helps us through those. Because this is a triumphant message that sublimely expresses all three of those convictions or questions. And it gives us confidence of knowing that you, the believer in Jesus Christ, are never, ever, ever alone. So let me begin. The Lord enables us to get the best out of our troubles because he is the immovable refuge to us. He enables us to get the best out of our troubles because he is the immovable refuge to us. Verses 1 through 3 are so pivotal here in this passage. Pivotal even to understanding this God who speaks to us. And he speaks here in these promised words of triumph. God is our refuge, our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth begins to give way, though the seas begin to swell and foam, though the mountains tremble. God is our refuge and strength. And notice that last verse in verse 10 there. Be still and know that I am God. Those last several verses of this psalm are very important so that we understand who is speaking to us here. And three times, the name of God, capital L-O-R-D, all capitals, Lord is used there. That is Yahweh, the God who saves. That is the name by which Jesus Christ revealed himself to his disciples. I am the great I am. It is here that we should look and be reminded of the way in which Jesus dealt so intimately and personally with his disciples in that upper room, John 13 through 17, where Jesus would reveal himself in the form of a servant, where he would reveal himself with those statements of, he the great I am. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus revealed himself in that most intimate way, and he reminded his disciples that he was going to face incredible trouble in the coming days. And he reminded them that they too would face trouble because of him. And then his comment to begin John chapter 14, his statement, so very clear to us, Jesus tells the disciples, therefore us, he tells us this, let not your hearts be troubled. Jesus never promised a life devoid of trouble, but he promised a life with an untroubled heart. In the midst of all the troubles that would be around the disciples, that would be around himself, Jesus' heart was never troubled. It was focused on what the will of God was. And the same is true of the believer in Jesus Christ. We can live with untroubled hearts in the midst of troubles all around us. The promise is for a trouble-free heart. Later on in chapter 16 of John's gospel, while Jesus would demonstrate that sin so powerfully exists in this, our world, he would say, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And so with all of that, with all of understanding that he is the great I am, which is symbolized by capital L-O-R-D in your translations of the Bible, this is Jesus Christ who is speaking to his people here. This is the Lord of triumph. And he speaks to us here today that he has triumphed over our troubles. And so for the reality of the believer in Jesus Christ, the untroubled heart will in fact triumph in a life full of trouble. And Psalm 46 is the prescription here for this untroubled heart, and this untroubled heart that gains its strength from the Lord who speaks to us about who he is. Few of us have ever stayed outside in the midst of a thunder and lightning storm. I can imagine that most of you have avoided those kinds of terrifying storms. But when those storms hit, we're hardly terrified. We just simply stay indoors, don't we? I can remember being in Acapulco, Mexico, and a typhoon hitting. A typhoon is a hurricane that occurs in the Pacific. And you could see it swirling, and the palm trees would dance from one end to the other depending on how the wind was blowing. And lightning and thundering and heavy rains began to happen, and 18 inches of water flowed down the streets like a river. It was a terrific storm. And there I was on the third floor of a concrete fortified building watching it. And at the end of it, I thought, I just survived a typhoon. What incredible confidence. Because I was in the midst of a refuge. I was in the midst of a fortress. And so I'm not afraid of that terrible storm that could, in fact, have easily taken my life if I was standing alone in the midst of it. Do you ever feel completely surrounded by pressure? As if you are in the cauldron and it's boiling around you. And you can look back in your life and say, boy, that was a silly thing. I was just way too... focused on myself in that situation. I understand that. But it could be anything. It could be something from financial or something from family within your marriage. It could be something with your friendships. It could be something with your business. It could be anything. But you feel that pressure and you're surrounded. And in the midst of that, it is so easy to feel alone. Now, the background of this psalm is important. I've already mentioned it, but I'll try to give it to us now. Israel was besieged as a nation by the Assyrians. And the Assyrians were bloodthirsty, horrifically brutal people. And King Sennacherib in 700 BC would come into the land of Israel that was reasonably divided itself in its own civil war, but would come in and he would make an example of a tiny little city called Lachish. And he absolutely mangled and obliterated that city and took all the people away. And Jerusalem sat there all alone. You can read about this in 2 Chronicles 32. And there, as Jerusalem feared, the prophets would come to King Hezekiah. And first it would be a prophet who would come to him and say, God will help you and he will help you in an amazing way. And then Isaiah would speak to him and would tell him, do not listen to the wicked Assyrians and their king who wants you to come up with a peace treaty where you will be his vassal kingdom for the rest of your existence. Trust the Lord. How simple to trust the Lord. And some 180,000 Assyrians began to assemble at the gates of Jerusalem, preparing for a siege that would last days upon days, and then for the final attack that would wipe out the city. But Hezekiah listened to the Lord. And on the night of the attack, when it was to be waged in those early hours of the morning, just after midnight, 180,000 Assyrians fell sick. They died. And the city was saved. Psalm 46 is a reminder of this event, that God is a refuge and a strength, and he is strong in battle. And yet this is celebratory of the actual cosmic conflict that is far more significant than the physical wars that somehow take place on this earth. The spiritual wars that are intensely personal. Even the spiritual wars that cause eternal death. And here we're reminded that God is on the side of the believer in Christ. And God is our strength. He is our refuge. Literally here, if you look at the original language, he is our tower fortress, our strength and protection from on high. Note the promise of God to us here. Therefore, we will not fear. Even in the floodwaters of chaos, when death is encompassing us, we will not fear, for God is our refuge and strength. What is it that causes fear? What's at the very root of troubles? Chaos. Wars cause chaos. It's a simple image to us here, but chaos, this instability, this feeling of being unstable in the world in which we live, the lack of control breeds fear. And we function out of control in this world, don't we? So the imagery here conveys these earth-shaking consequences. What will happen next? Where will our confidence come from? How will we be able to live without fear? And yet there's this resounding inward peace that is spoken of here. Because of who God is, we will not fear. I love the phrase, he is a very present help. That's one of those you circle in your Bible. He's a very present help. If I am very present, then I'm probably in your face and I'm too close and you want to push me back. If somebody is very present, they're highly involved. They're controlling things. And here it's so positive. He is a very present help in times of trouble. Certainly the scriptures tell us elsewhere that we're to seek the Lord while he may be found. We're to call on him while he is near and in the midst of our troubles. Who else can you turn to but that one who is always present and near you? How can we learn from our troubles in the midst of this? How do we get the best out of the troubles that I've begun the sermon with, by retreating from those troubles into a communion with the Lord here who is speaking to us, the Lord who is immovable, the Lord who is always stable. He's a fortress. He's strong. It's He who provides wisdom, insight, courage for us to know how to react and respond in the midst of chaos and troubles that surround us in the pressure cooker of life. The desire for you, the believer, to seek the Lord is a direct result of the fact that He has found us, that He calls us to belong to Him, that He reminds us that He's a very present help, and that we can be free to call on Him in the first place. And for this reason, trouble can ultimately, for the believer, be interpreted as something good. In the long term, from an eternal perspective, because it brings us intimately close to the One who is immovable, it's a good thing. That God would use trouble in your life to draw you close to Him is a good thing. Can you say that in the midst of your troubles? Maybe today. Maybe whatever's going on in your life. Can you say that God is immovable, that He's your refuge, that He's your strength, and that you have nothing to fear because of that? That if the whole world collapses, you're going to be all right. Do you have that kind of confidence? And basic to the believer in Jesus Christ is that we're stable. We're steadied. We're grounded because of our relationship with God Himself. No matter what trouble it is, no matter what's going on, no matter the circumstances of your life that are uncontrollable, whether it's your health, whether it's disappointing reversals in life that each of us have experienced and will continue to experience, whether it's your children, whether it's anything in your life, you simply know the power of God at work. You've experienced, you've seen the power of His resurrection, the joy of His sufferings. And you possess that fellowship with Jesus Christ. Therefore, you don't fear. Christians should never fear. Christians should never fear. That's the message of this psalm. And yet, I'm someone who gets afraid from time to time. I get afraid. I wasn't planning on my baseball crowd being here today, but I can remember as we entered the playoffs, the fear in some of the boys' eyes, and I asked if they were afraid, and they shook their head. Yeah, we're afraid. Why? We might lose. I said, no, we're going to win. And immediately they play to win. It's the same for adults in life. When you look into the eyes of the Great One and He tells you, it's okay, I've got this thing, then you have the ability to take those troubles and to walk with confidence with Him. But from this, we need to see that the Lord enables us to get the best out of our troubles because He is an inexhaustible river. We can get the best out of our troubles because He's an inexhaustible river. Verses 4 through 7. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is flowing into the midst of her, and she's not going to be moved. God will help when morning dawns. The nations can rage, the kingdoms can totter. But He utters His voice, and the earth melts. He is with us, the Lord of hosts. He is our fortress. The imagery here, even richer than what I've already been describing, the metaphors filled with intense meaning, and the city of God is where His people dwell. It is speaking here of us, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the symbolic presence of God here, and it's the Spirit of God who is at work in the flow of this. God is our refuge. The Spirit of God fills the people of God, and the sustaining power of God is what is in view here. You're not left alone. There's His flowing presence that is refreshing the people of God. And imagine a city under siege, a city without a river, without fresh water flowing into it. You could not sustain yourself if you're that kind of a city. And most people live like that, dry and parched under siege in life, and they make the best of it. And here, there is the ever-freshing flowing water of rivers, of streams, of flow, of good things into the midst of people. It's inexhaustible as the rivers that flow from the mountains are inexhaustible. And when we understand this, that God is within our midst, as verse 5 is saying, you don't have to be moved by the circumstances that affect your life. For the river, his presence, he fills us. And notice, it makes glad. It makes glad the people of God. When you've been through something hard and you're parched, you're dry, you're looking for relief from those hot, burning circumstances on the back of your neck. All of the pressure. And somebody offers you something cool and refreshing, even just a simple quotation from the scriptures. When someone prays for you, when you experience the fellowship here at King's Cross from one another, you feel that gladness, don't you? The satisfaction that comes. When trouble hits, you're reminded not only of the presence of the Lord, but his spirit at work. And even as everything begins to crumble, the nations and the world, the tottering of it all, God then utters his voice and everything melts, including you. That's power. That's extreme confidence in the midst of the troubles around us. When trouble hits, are you one who is left asking God, why me? Why me? Or is this confidence flowing into you like a river flowing into this city, and gladness is about you, and you're able to ask God, not why me, but God, what will you do? Expectant of the Lord. I find the older that I get, maybe the more mature in Christ that I've become over the years, I've found it's not so much God, why me, as much as God, what will you do with this? How will you use this for my good and for your glory? Because in the midst of it all, it hurts. It's not the plan. And then the Lord begins somehow, some way, revealing himself to us. It's a liberating thing to know that God is immovable like this. And I'm convinced that we view God so very badly these days. Even believers, we view God badly. We fail to look to him for how he's revealed himself. We've made God somehow sillily therapeutic, that he's there for when something sort of ills me and I'm not doing so well, and he kind of juices me up like a vitamin pill. Or God's like a teddy bear, and he's fluffy and he's so distant. He's way over there, but he's not in the midst of where I am. Or he's like the dog with his boy in the backyard. And he's just somehow chasing around, and he just disappears from time to time. But Psalm 46 says this here, that God is not that at all. He is a fortress. He's a refuge. He's an inexhaustible river. He's refreshment. No person can be that in your life. No person can do that for you except for the one true living God. It is God who is strong to us. And it's so easy for us to look at God all wrong, and therefore when troubles hit, we're caught in the chaos of it all, when in fact we can actually see our troubles benefit us in our relationship to him and know that he's doing these things in our midst for our good and ultimately to reveal his glory. That's why verses 8 and 9 begin, come and behold the works of the Lord, recall all that he's done. The people of God have to be good historians. We have to be able to look back and say, that's what God has done. Therefore, in the midst of everything that I'm doing and I'm seeing, He will do these things. That's why Jacob is used here. The name Jacob is a historic marker. When you see Jacob, you think of Isaac. You see Isaac, you think of Abraham. You think of the God who promises, the God who is the covenant God. The God who would work out grace in the midst of his people. He would call people to himself and create an entire nation who would make that covenant finalized in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. What God says, he does. And that's indicated here so very clearly. Come and see what God has done. Be reminded of these things. That he would send his one and only son to triumph over our real enemies of sin and death and the evil one. Finally, the Lord enables us to get the best out of our troubles when we know him as invincible. He enables us to get the best out of our troubles when we know him as invincible. I like that word, invincible. That's a strong word, isn't it? If your view of God is that he's somehow changeable, that he's power, but he's not powerful. If your view of God is that he's small, your view of hope is probably small. You could maybe imagine the battle scene after this Assyrian king lined up 180,000 battle-hardened, strong warriors who were bloodthirsty. They were intent on mangling Jerusalem. And yet Psalm 46 now singing for joy. Come behold these works of the Lord. He is the one who has brought desolations on the earth, disease on his enemies. He's made wars to cease. He's broken the bows and the spears. It's as if he's reached his hand into the battle and grabbed a hold of the weapons of war and snapped them like toothpicks. As if he's set the chariots on fire. It's a psalm of triumph. And that if God has done that, then what will he continue to do for you and for me? Why should you ever feel unstable in this world? Certainly, this should change our perspective because troubles enable us to trust, and that is good. And when we trust the Lord, it reveals his glory, and that is amazingly good. And when we get the best out of our troubles, it's when we trust Jesus Christ. But then we're left with these most powerful, provocative words. Verse 10, the real crux of what the psalmist is singing of here, what is joy to us here. It's really where what we get out of these troubles that is good for us that's here. Be still and know that I am God. Have you ever been to the zoo? And you know, all the animals are going about and all the people are going about. A zoo is a zoo. It's a place of chaos. I don't go very often. Animals are doing all their own thing. And you hear their noises and you smell their smells. It's the zoo. But then have you ever heard when the king of the jungle roars at the zoo? Have you ever heard it? It's deafening. If you've ever heard the roar of a lion, you will never forget it. It is bone-chilling. It is with incredible power. And the lion that I actually heard do, I never even saw it, but I heard do it, was a baby lion. And the thing roared with incredible power. And the whole place shook and every animal was quiet for 15 minutes. Be still and know that I am God. When God speaks, the earth is created. When God speaks, the whole earth melts. And this lion has roared. And the way in which this lion has roared is in taking out his wrath on his own son. He has defeated sin by placing it on his own son. He has defeated your troubles by hanging them on his own son. And he has solved our troubles by giving us his own son. The lion has roared, and we can be still and know that he's God. God has intervened into this world, and he reminds us of who he is here. The nations may rage, the earth may totter, all the troubles can move around. But if you know Jesus Christ, if you're united to him, what can harm you? What can make you unstable? Because you have him who is most stable. Because you have him who is immovable. You have the one who is power and a refuge and a strength. And you run to the refuge. And you have stability. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our God is a great God. But he's far more wild. He's far more dangerous than the lion at the zoo. He's defeated these things. And he blesses us to come and to know him. Listen to the goodness of the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ from the psalm today. Don't harden your hearts, but listen to it and take confidence in the Lord of glory who reveals himself to us and gives us his strength. Let me pray. Our Father, we give you thanks this day that you would speak to us from your word. We give you thanks this day that you are the one who reveals yourself and you are the God who is personal, the God who would love your people, that you would roar in victory on our behalf by giving your Son. Lord, that we are not alone in this world, consumed, but that we are blessed by your presence, that we have you, our Lord Jesus Christ, and your Spirit at work among us. Fill us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Our hymn of